Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of New York Sports Nightly, powered by Alexander's Free 2-0 Water. Here on Blog Talk Radio on a, you could say it got warmer. Here on a Friday night going into Saturday morning, Jose Otero here with Joey Torres here live from the tri-state area. Mercado behind the boards. The Dream Team, 657-383-0089, the digits to dial to get on the action. Got an interesting game at the Rock tonight between the Islanders and the Devils. We're going to talk about the Nets. We're going to talk about the week in New York sports and hand out our MVPs of the week. But first, which is what anybody is talking about, the NFL playoffs, even though there are no Jets and Giants involved. This is the divisional playoffs. There's a lot of interesting matchups, but the most intriguing one is a classic NFC matchup between the Packers and the Cowboys.
Yeah, that's the game everybody is looking forward to. And, you know, Romo against Rodgers. Rodgers is not 100%. You know, Cass is barking at him a little bit, but play. And it'll be interesting to see how he can perform against a pretty decent Dallas defense. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be the marquee matchup of the weekend. I also think the New England and Baltimore game is going to be pretty good, too, because those two teams have a history of going at battle with Baltimore having an edge on them. So definitely this is a fun time of year if you're a football fan, regardless of what team you root for. You will be in front of your television watching the games, and it should be, and hopefully we have four good games this weekend.
Well, that Packers-Cowboys game is going to be a doozy. You know, you have the team that's undefeated on the road in the Cowboys, 8-0. Versus the team that's undefeated on the road, undefeated at home, I should say, the Packers. So somebody is going to be handed their first loss, whether it be the Packers at home or the Cowboys on the road. And the Aaron Rodgers thing is something to look at. You know, he suffered the torn calf in that last game against the Lions at Lambeau. And right now it's, if given, I don't think I have the confidence in Matt Flynn in case something, if Rodgers further aggravates that injury, to come in and lead this team to a victory. Because with the Cowboys, even though the Cowboys' defense is kind of suspect, you know, the secondary is kind of suspect, they could easily go after David Carr, they could easily go after Kendrick and these guys, and it's still a question of whether Rodgers could stay healthy.
That's definitely the key. He right now, I mean, the way I look at it, he's playing the game. He's not 100%. Football is one of those sports. Well, you know what? You can say that about any sport. If you're going to suit up and you're going to play, even if you're not 100%, let's be honest. This time of year, with all these teams, you have guys that are hurt that it will be known. Case in point, Aaron Rodgers. But you also have guys, and I'm talking key players here, who are banged up, various injuries, or at least an injury or various injuries, but they're still well enough to play. And they'll suit up and they'll do just that and play. But we don't know about these injuries because not everything is going to be reported. So my whole take is if Rodgers does play, and it certainly looks like he will, then A, I think he will have a good game. I think the game will be competitive, and it will be the type of game that we expect. I think it will come down to the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, and it'll be a tightly contested game. And even if Rodgers is kind of limited in certain things that he'll do, like if he's running from pressure or whatever, Packers lose. I'm sorry, but I don't want to hear anyone talk about, well, it wasn't 100%, you know, this and that, because I can quickly counter that with, well, Romo hasn't been 100% all year with the back problems and everything.
He's been playing lights out, and I got to hand it to him. As much flack as I've given him over the years, Tony Romo has been stepping up, especially last week. And I haven't touched – we didn't touch on this last week, but I just want to just get out of the way real quick. Even though that sequence where the pass interference wasn't called and, you know, defensive holding wasn't called, face mask wasn't called, holding wasn't called, yada, 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 I don't want to hear that. The Lions had a 17-7 lead at halftime. They were up 20-7 in the third quarter. You got to finish it. They had the Cowboys by the throat, and they let up.
Yep.
Which is,
and mind you, even with the after the quote-unquote pass interference call that never was because they picked up the flag, that wasn't it wasn't like that call was made with like 2 minutes left in the game. So they had plenty of time, and to have a drive, score another touchdown. Then the defense comes out, and the defense puts it away. They had time. They had numerous opportunities where they could have made plays and pretty much walk away with a win. So for people to just like put it on that one play is ridiculous. Now, yes, it was a huge play. It was the turning point in the game. And come on, doesn't take a rocket scientist to see that that was pass interference. I mean, it was. But, again, I will quickly counter anyone who keeps on bringing it up, you know, Lions fan, Giants fan, 49ers fan, or just a straight-up Cowboy hater, whoever. I would quickly tell them the Lions still had numerous opportunities to put on to pretty much set themselves up to win that game the rest of the way, and they failed. It's as simple as that.
So back to this game. What is your real quickly? What is your prediction for this game coming up for the Cowboy-Packer game?
Like I said, I think that it will live up to the expectations of football fans around the country. I think it will be a very entertaining game. It's not going to be in the, you know, this like 38 to 31 type game. I think it'll be a little lower than that. It's going to, you know, defense on both teams are going to make plays, and you know, you may see a couple of turnovers and stuff like that, but I see Dallas coming out on top. I think the game against the Lions was, like every year in the playoffs when a team goes on to win a Super Bowl, and they'll have that one game in their journey towards that championship where their medal will be tested. And, you know, they'll get punched in the jaw. And it's like, how will they react to it? I really feel that the Cowboys had that happen to them last week. They showed me something. You know, as you were saying earlier about Romo, where he showed you, the whole team showed me something, because let's face it, Dez Bryant was non-existent last week. Okay? So now you have Romo's favorite target. It's like he was hurt. He wasn't even playing. All that pressure the Lions put on Romo in the first half, Romo looked lost. Okay, he had happy feet, the whole nine yards. Second half came, they made their adjustments, and you know, Romo still took hits and everything, but they found a way to get it done, and they won the game. So now I think coming into this game at Green Bay, I think they're going to carry that momentum with them, and it'll be a tightly contested game, as I said earlier. but I see the Cowboys prevailing, and I see it being 28-24 in favor of the Dallas Cowboys.
I say more or less, more along the lines of 20-16 Dallas. Dallas finally wins another playoff game, first time in a long time that they win two playoff games in one postseason since 1995. My prediction. Now, for the other games, while we have the few minutes, Indianapolis and Denver is another one. We have the old master versus the young horse in Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning.
I'll call it the old war horse versus the young buck. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I'll let you go first.
I'd say this is going to be a shootout. I'd say 35-31 Indianapolis.
Definitely agree with you on the whole shootout part. I do think that special teams will play a big part in this game. And I think that whether it's a kickoff return, a punt return, or a blocked field goal, blocked punt, something, but one of these two teams will make a huge play on special teams, and that will be the difference maker. And the team that I think that will do that will be the Denver Broncos, and it will be a high-scoring game. I agree with you on that. And I think that the war horse is going to have a little something up his sleeve, and I say Denver 35, Indy 28.
All right, now moving on to the other games. What are your predictions on the last two games? We know that the Seattle-Carolina game is going to be a blowout. I think we're both in agreement to saying that Seattle is going to win this one.
Let me tell you something. If the Arizona Cardinals had just an average quarterback, and we've talked about this last week, Monday, you know how I feel about that whole game. Arizona had an average quarterback, they would be playing right now. And they had a guy who shouldn't even be an NFL quarterback, so they lost the game. So Carolina won by default, okay? And the Seahawks coming off a bye week, they're home, the 12th man, including a good friend of mine named James Lawrence, who's like one of the biggest Seahawks fan that I know. He knows the owner of the Seahawks, and he knows a handful of the players personally. So I think he's even going there, as a matter of fact. I believe he's heading up there to check out the game. But the Seahawks, that game will be over by the end of the first quarter. And never mind that by the end of the halftime or anything like that. By the first 15 minutes of the game, put in the books, it's going to be over. It's going to get ugly, and it will get ugly fast. So, yeah, Seahawks and a complete annihilation of the Panthers.
I think so. I really think that it's this game. Like you said, it's going to be over by the coin toss, I think. And right now, quickly, predictions, I'm going to say it's going to be the Cowboys and the Seahawks. And on the AFC side, it's going to be the Patriots and the Colts. And I got a feeling that if Andrew Luck and the Colts beat the Broncos on Sunday, or tomorrow, I should say, if they win, then they're going to the Super Bowl, because I see them also beating the Patriots in the AFC Championship game.
Wow, really? Really? You really see the Colts beating New England?
Yep, I think the Colts are going to go into New England and beat the Patriots.
You know what? If that happens, it'll be a case of Andrew Luck beating the Patriots, because if you look at the Colts roster very closely, they're not that good. They're not that good. It's the quarterback that's making that team as good as they are. He's the reason why they are where they are now. You put an average quarterback on the Colts, they're not a playoff team. I'm sorry, they're not.
I think I really do think that Andrew Luck has that good run in him, and I think that's going to come in this postseason. And it already came last week against the Bengals. So I'm going to say if they do win tomorrow, then it's going on to they're going to go on to the Super Bowl. But
wow. That's the upset special right there, man. Because
that's the upset special.
I have Baltimore winning. I think Baltimore is one of those teams that they're kind of like the AFC version of the Giants, where they may have an okay regular season. They won't be like one of those teams like the Denvers and the Indies and, you know, all these teams that they make all the headlines in the National Football League. They kind of like are always under the radar, and they quietly go about their business. And if they happen to punch a ticket to make it into the NFL playoffs, that's when now they make the headlines. They elevate their game. I mean, that, like, when you look, you're as a Giants fan, you know this. I mean, both times they won the Super Bowl, their regular seasons weren't nothing to, you know, really say, hey, man, we had a dominating regular season. Of course we won the Super Bowl. We had an okay regular season. It was good enough to get into the playoffs. But once the lights went on for the postseason, Eli and the rest of the Giants stepped up their game, and the end result is they got a couple of rings from it. And Joe Flacco and the Ravens did the same thing a few years ago. They made the playoffs, and they parlayed that into a Super Bowl championship, because when everything was on the line, Joe Flacco, like Eli Manning, played his best football. And I think that he's going to do that against New England. He's already done it for one game. I think he will continue to do that this week. I think that the Ravens will win 28 to 21, and the Ravens are going to move on to go on to the AFC Championship.
You think they'll go to the Super Bowl? You think they'll beat the Broncos and go to the Super Bowl?
You know what? It's a very strong possibility, because with the defense that they have, I mean, now granted, it's not the dominating Ravens defense that they had of years past with Ray Lewis and Suggs and Ed Reed and all those guys, but they're still pretty good, okay? And they're the AFC version of the New York Giants. If they make it to the playoffs, as long as Joe Flacco is the quarterback, just like with the Giants. Giants win, make the playoffs, as long as Eli Manning is behind center, they're a threat in the playoffs. It could be 8-8, doesn't matter. They get in the playoffs, New York Giants are a formidable threat to any team that plays them. And the same thing can be said about the Baltimore Ravens. So, yeah, they do have a legit shot at beating the Denver Broncos after they defeat the New England Patriots, if the Broncos, you know, make it to the AFC title game, which I think they will. So, absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know what? I'll go on a limb right now. Yes. I'm going to pick the Baltimore Ravens to go to the Super Bowl, and they will meet the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay. So, we got two, you know, the
but we got 2 weeks,
right?
We have time.
But we'll get into that more next Friday show before the championship, the AFC and NFC championship games are coming. So, anyway, tonight at The Rock, the Devils snatched defeat from the Devils of victory today, dropping 1 to the Islanders 3-2, and you gotta hand it to the guy. John Tavares is the real deal, and he's probably one of the most clutch players in the NHL right now.
Yep, and any team that, you know, you want your captain to step up when it's really needed, and he did that. He absolutely did that. I mean, the game-winning goal that he scored was something that's what superstars do. That's what you want your best player to do. And he made that play happen all on his own and went right in front. And just a wicked shot, and game over. So, you know, they're playing great hockey, and, you know, Rangers will be meeting up with them on Tuesday, which that game is going to be an amazing matchup. And
it's going to be anticipated.
Yeah, it's going to be like a playoff game. I mean, let's be realistic. The fans, it's going to be loud, and it's going to be full of energy. You know, there will be a handful of, you know, it's not going to be like how it is when the Rangers invade the Coliseum where there's that many more Ranger fans. But there will be a lot of Islander fans at the Garden on Tuesday. I'm not going to deny that. There will be a nice little contingent of Islander fans there. Mm-hmm. So they will be heard when the Islanders score, and God forbid, if they win the game, you're going to hear them too. But you know, both teams are playing good right now, and I just think that what I took from this game is that the Islanders struggled against a Devil team that, as we've talked about on several occasions, they're not a playoff team. You know, they're playing better since DeBoer got fired. Mm-hmm. And Lamoriello and Adam Oates and Stevens are doing their thing to, you know, kind of semi-right the ship. I mean, the ship's not in the right direction completely, but at least it's kind of getting a little better. It's going in a good direction now. But the bottom line is they're not a playoff team. They're older roster, as we've mentioned before, and they gave the Islanders, you know, all kinds of fits tonight.
They did. They were up 1-0, and the Islanders put one home. They were up 2-1, but Gomez's goal, they could hold on to this. You know, this will be huge for the Devils after last night's onslaught in Boston. I had to go and tuck in my daughter, you know, read her a book. I come out, and it's in overtime, 2-2. And I'm like, what happened? And then Tavares scores again, and then boom, over.
The
Devils snatched the defeat from the jaws of victory on this one.
Pretty much, but you know what? That's what good teams do. Good teams will find a way, especially when you get down to the last 5 minutes of the third period, and if they're trailing. Good teams that will make a run in the playoffs, you know, they'll find a way. And I think what makes this a very impressive win for the Islanders is the fact that you have to remember, unlike the Rangers have that experience. They made it to the finals last year. So pretty much, even though they're a different team this year, players they lost in free agency and the players that replaced them and all of that. But, you know, they have that experience. And, yes, the Islanders have guys on the team like Boychuk and other players that have playoff experience and some even have won Stanley Cups and whatever. But for the most part, their roster consists of players that have – this is all new for them. This is new for them. Oposo, this is new for them. Tavares, this is new for him. You know, Hamonic, this is all new for him. So the fact that they're playing as well as they're playing – and in the process, they're still learning how to win. It's very impressive for that team. It really is. And I tell you, I'll say it again, I can't wait to Tuesday. Tuesday is just, man, from the moment I wake up, I'm just going to be in full-blown Ranger Islander mode. Like, I can't wait for Tuesday.
Me either. And moving on to basketball, dude. This is embarrassing for the Nets. This is embarrassing. This is starting to get ridiculous now. And you know what? It's bad for the Knicks, too, because that officially makes the Knicks, record-wise, winning percentage-wise, the worst team in the NBA when the Sixers defeated the Nets in Brooklyn.
Well,
how could you call yourself a playoff contender and lose to a team like that?
Well, remember, I mean, you know, even a broken clock is going to get the time right twice a day. So, I mean, you know, anything can happen. And this game tonight was proof of that. But, you know, I'm sure Carlos behind the board, I'm sure he's thinking this. Eddie, he was cracking up. And Dick, because he hates the Brooklyn Nets with a passion. So even though the Nets, by losing, actually made the Knicks officially the worst team, but I think Carlos, all he looked at was the Nets lost to the Sixers at home. Okay? So I'm sure he was like, that was the equivalent of watching an episode of American Dad where he's cracking up with Roger in one of his costumes. So... and then it also helps the Knicks because obviously you want to tank the season
I really don't see the whole tanking thing because you're not guaranteed. It's not like the NFL where you're guaranteed a number one pick with the worst record. No, there's still a chance that you're not going to get that number one pick come lottery time. Like, I don't understand we're
going to
get a number one pick. You're not guaranteed it.
Well, if you talk to most Knicks fans, when you hear them talk like that, they're going to quickly turn around and tell you, well, you know, that's true, but at least we have the highest percentage of getting that number one pick. And it's better to have the highest percentage than to have, you know, the second, the third, or the fourth, or the fifth highest percentage of winning. So, you know, in a lost season, you want to have that one little shining light. And, you know, if they end up with the number one pick, guess what? That's it. So, I mean, but the bottom line is, if you're a Nets fan right now, you have to hang your head in shame because, I'm sorry, you lose to that team. That's just brutal. Like, whoever was at that game tonight at Barclays Center.
Now, we know a lot of people that were.
Yeah, when they were walking out, there should be people, you know, the ushers, the people who work at Barclays Center, with a voucher that was good for a ticket for a future game because that's the equivalent of getting a refund. I mean, that's a disgrace.
That's just horrible. And real quick, while we have a minute and 45 seconds left, what was Brook Lopez thinking taking that last shot? You're not a three-point guy. You're not. He just chucked it up from 30 feet away and missed. Game over. Boom.
Well,
like,
I mean, again, that one play was symbolic of the entire evening for them versus this pitiful team.
And the fact that the Nets couldn't sink their free throws, they went 19 for 27 from the free throw line and 3 of 16 from three point range. I mean, this team is any other night you put up those numbers against the Sixers, you get off by the skin of your teeth. But this team is not that good. They're not that good. They're not a good basketball team.
I told you, we've said it before, we've talked about it before, I'll say it again. The Brooklyn Nets are a team that, yeah, they'll make the playoffs, but they're one and done. They're an okay team. And okay is not going to get you far in the playoffs. That's it, simply put.
All right, now, for those who are listening live, we thank you for listening, and we'll see you on Monday. Please hang on, if you're listening on the archives, for the overtime, 10-minute overtime here. Thank you and have a nice weekend. All right. for those listening on Blog Talk Radio on the archives or on iTunes, welcome to the New York Sports Nightly Overtime, where we talk, extend our time a little here in case you missed it on the live show. The Nets lose to the Sixers, and the Islanders beat the Devils in overtime 3-2. So right now, let's take a look back at the week in New York sports. Now, the major news of this week was the trade between the Knicks, the Thunder, and the Cavs that sent J.R. Smith and Amon Shumpert to Cleveland, while the Knicks got with three 12th men that they eventually waived, and extra cap space by trading those guys.
Had to be done. It had to be done. And this lost season for the Knicks, I mean, it's reached the point where now Phil Jackson is just completely going to clean up the roster, get rid of pretty much, you know, people with contracts. Like right now you keep hearing Calderon's on the trading block also. So don't be shocked if he's gone real soon. So right now it's all about next year and beyond, creating more cap room. And, you know, so it's free agents, draft picks, and, you know, while nothing's guaranteed on who's going to come here and who you can convince to come here and everything, the bottom line is they're going to go make an all-out, an aggressive pursuit of free agents, and hopefully it'll be good enough to bring people here. But I will say this much, guarantee you this much, because of this lost season, when they do sign free agents, whoever they get, they're going to have to grossly overpay those players to come here, because if they don't, they're not getting them.
I think you're right. I don't think they'll just come here willingly. They're just going to have to find a way to sell the triangle and sell playing with Melo to these guys. Carlos, what do you think?
Well, I personally, you know, I think the trade was getting rid of two contracts that expired, one contract expiring, because we don't know if JR would have opted out or opted in. So, you know, more money on the cap for that. But the three players we got, Phil Jackson I think he already signed one of them for a 10-day contract. And then he's thinking about signing another one for a 10-day contract. So he waived them, and I think he signed Lance Thomas for a 10-day contract, and he's thinking about signing Lou Edmondson for a 10-day contract. Amundsen for a we're going to get a chance to see what they got. Me personally, I don't think they'll be here next year no matter what. I agree with what you guys said about Phil probably gonna have to overpay the free agents to come here. So, and I think so too, because especially most of those free agents are coming from winning teams, you know. So even though, you know, money does talk, you know, players will come for the money and to come to the Eastern Conference for a better chance to get to the NBA Finals. Because the Eastern Conference is much, much weaker than the Western Conference, so you know, I think Phil will land a nice couple of free agents, and now with this whole tanking thing with the we're not guaranteed a number one pick, but if you have the worst record in the league, you're guaranteed at least a top three pick. At least a top three. If you have the worst record in the league and don't have a top three pick, then I don't know what's going on with that lottery then.
And that's true. That's true with the top three pick. However, a lot of people were talking like, oh, we tanked the season, we're getting a number one pick, like this is the NFL. Well, some of those people are not educated on the NBA and how things work in the NBA, but it is what it is, you know, this team stinks. That's the bottom line. The season's a wash. You can see the Knicks for cheap for now.
Yeah, this is just basically like a tryout. Yeah. See who will be on the team next year. That's it. So I gotta do say this though. I had to comment on this with the Nets losing to the Sixers. I ain't gonna lie, I was laughing. But like you said with the Brook Lopez, I don't know what Brook Lopez was thinking, especially with that fadeaway three. I'm like, you're down by, what was it? They lost by 1 point, didn't they? No, two.
They lost by two.
You're down. Just, you're at home. Just try to use your hook shot to tie the game and turn into overtime. What are you doing shooting a three-pointer? Yeah, you know, this not seeming good, man.
It's not. And did you hear about the trade rumors that they're thinking about bringing trading Deron Williams to the Rockets?
Oh, sure. I think Houston would be doing Brooklyn a favor because, honestly, Brooklyn needs to trade Deron Williams. That dude is like a Bargnani, always getting paid over, like, big money, and he's always getting hurt. And he obviously, he's really not playing that well.
Yeah, he won Player of the Week, I think, the first week of the NBA season, and then he just hit a wall after that. You know, he hit a wall,
Nets fans, they were all hype.
Nets fans were proclaiming that D-Will is back and he's not on the decline, while he's basically a version of Adrian Dantley. That's what he is. He's going to be a role player on a good team, say, either whether it be the Rockets or Mavericks, and that's going to be his career. That's it. Moving on. Now, let's go to MVPs of the week. Now, Joey, who's your MVP this week?
MVP for the week? Oh, man. I thought about this a little more. You know what? I'm not even gonna give it to one player. I'm just gonna give it to the whole team. My MVP for the week has been the Rangers because, you know, they go out west and they beat not one but two of the top teams in the National Hockey League, including the current team right now that's the best team in the Hockey League points wise, in the Anaheim Ducks. And they walked away with 4 points for both of those games. And we have San Jose tomorrow night. And hopefully we'll make a clean sweep out of this California trip and get another 2 points tomorrow night. So my pick is the entire Rangers team.
All right, Carlos, who's your MVP?
I'm going to go with Rick Nash. I mean, the dude, he's just been nothing but having a great season for us, for the Rangers. So, you know, he scored two more goals out on this West Coast, two huge goals, I should say, out on this West Coast trip. So, definitely been the Rick Nash we paid him for, finally, you know. So, he got my MVP.
I'm with Joey here. I say the entire Ranger team is the MVP. They just, like Joey said, they went into two very tough places to play, which is the Honda Center and the Staples Center, and they came out victorious in both games. So right now, so far, so good in a rough 7-game stretch for the Rangers. I mean, they got San Jose tomorrow, they got the Islanders on Tuesday, they got Columbus and Boston coming up. This is a very good start. It's a very good confidence booster, and I think the entire team is just clicking on all cylinders right now. Defensively, goaltending, you know, as far as being on the attack, penalty
power play.
The power play is definitely starting to come around. It's a great time to be a Ranger fan. Rangers on my MVP. Now let's go to the GOATs. Real quick, the GOATs of the week.
My GOAT for the week is my goal is the Nets tonight. You can't lose to the Sixers at home. You want to be a playoff team. You want to be taken seriously. You can't lose to the Sixers at home. I'm sorry. Just under no circumstances, you cannot lose to the Sixers. They're my pick.
I'm going to have to agree with Joey on this one. Not only did they lose to the Sixers tonight, but the game before they lost to the Celtics at home. So they lost to the Celtics and the 76ers back-to-back at home. That can't happen.
Yep.
If you're a so-called playoff team, you can't lose to the two team, bottom teams in the East back to back at home. I don't care who's out. You got to beat those teams if you're a playoff team. Next man got to step up. And obviously, the Nets didn't. They didn't. Nobody on the Nets did that today. So
I'm going to give my bone of the week to the Devils defenseman, because you cannot let a team pepper you with 41 shots and leave your goalie out to dry. Thank God for Corey Schneider, because that score yesterday might have well been 8-0 instead of 3-0. So right now, kudos to him. A big to the Devils defense, and that's it. So for Carlos Mercado, our producer, for Joey Torres, I'm Jose Otero. Thank you very much for tuning in all week, and we will see you on Monday.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
Good night.